How do you follow something like that? Looks like we're celebrating. I forgot to turn it on. Looks like we're celebrating Christmas. And we could be. Because nobody really knows when Jesus was born. Okay? We're on Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the birth of Christ. So that's why we sang We Three Kings, because we're going to talk about the Magi. And as we looked at last week, there are differences in the Gospels. We looked at Luke and we looked at Matthew. Different perspectives with each author having recorded what they thought was important to the salvation story and our understanding of it. And also our understanding of who Jesus was and is. Matthew does not say as much as Luke about the birth of Jesus. Mark says nothing at all. And John tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we also looked at what Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, and how Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And they both did, actually, what the angel of the Lord commanded. Mary said, as the Lord's servant, let it be so. Basically, and then when Joseph awoke from his dream, he did exactly what the angel of the Lord had said. The angel spoke the words of God to him. Both were obedient to God's word. Again, different perspectives. I will tell you that Matthew and Luke used Mark's gospel as the source in writing theirs. They adapted it to their own different purposes in presenting the gospel. And we don't always get that information. It wasn't like it was done in a vacuum. They went back and, because Mark wrote the first of the gospel, so they went back and looked at Mark's and then from there used that as a source material. Now the world has twisted the birth of Jesus into something that it was never meant to be. The Jewish people and the church, when it first began, did not believe in celebrating pagan holidays. Guess what was a pagan holiday? Their birthdays. That's why we don't know when Jesus was born, because it was a pagan thing to do that. So they didn't celebrate that. We do it. It's been adopted into the church. There's nothing wrong with it. At that time, it was just considered a pagan thing to do. The world has twisted the word of God about the birth of Jesus. It's a consumer-driven thing now. It's all about giving gifts. And even in the church, we see where these traditions and practices that the world practices are accepted as fact that have no biblical basis. For instance, tradition tells us that the name of the three Magi are Melchior, Belshazzar, and Caspar. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. There's not even tradition. There's no writings that say who these men were. The Bible, like I said, never mentions their name. Let's start with Matthew. Let's get right to the word. Starting at chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll go through the first 12 verses of chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are to be no means least among the leaders of Judah. For from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod secretly called for the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. So he's asking them, when did you see it? When's the first time you saw it going on? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it came to stop over the place where the child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And after being warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. We get a different perspective from the other Gospels, and Luke in particular, which we'll look at in a little bit. There is no mention of the Magi, wise men, in any of the other Gospels. Nor are they called kings except in the song, which we just sang. Nor is Magi short for magician. It's just what it is. They were diviners, people who were, they looked to the stars for God's perspective and to gain perspective. They thought that they could see the future and know what was going on. And things did happen in the stars that they understood, at least as much as they could in their time. They saw a star appear over Israel to the east of them, which when we sing westward going, it just drives me nuts. Because they were headed east. The star appeared in the east. You don't go west. Sorry. I'll get a rant on this as we go, I'm sure. They were astronomers or astrologists, one of the two. We also do not know how many sought out this king of the Jews. We don't know how many there were. Could have been one, could have been 12. Doesn't say in the Bible. But we do know that they offered three gifts, which is where we get the three kings, because that's speculation, right? Well, there's three gifts, there has to be three kings. No, there doesn't. It does not have to be that way. That's not what the Bible tells us. Doesn't say anything about it. And we know how conjecture and speculation and assumption can get us into a lot of trouble. How many of you have ever assumed something and found out that it was the wrong thing to assume? We won't go with that, how you break that down. You all understand that. Yeah, well, you've been lost, but you can be found. The problem is that we conjecture and we speculate about God's word. And we should never do that. We should never do that. And I'm going to show you why as we go along here today, that we can't speculate on things and then build a whole doctrine around that speculation. Here's what we do know. They obviously studied the stars. They traveled far. And they were seeking the king of the Jews, which common sense would tell you to go where? To Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. You would go there because that's where the king would reside. So I can give them that much. That's pretty much knowledge, right? A little bit of guesstimate, but yeah, that's where we have to go look. And that's where the star was leading them, toward Israel and toward Jerusalem. History tells us that Herod the Great died around 4 BC. Okay? Herod was appointed as king by Rome. He was not there according to the lineage of David. He was there because he was appointed as king. And he was a very paranoid king. He had three sons that he had put to death because he were thought that they were plotting against him to be king. He also put a wife to death for the same reason. So we have to keep that in mind. He's very paranoid. So I'm sure when he heard about another king, he was troubled. Okay? Somebody's coming to take my place. They're going to get my job. We can't have that. He was not the legitimate king of Israel. And these wise guys show up. And they say, hey, listen, we're here to worship the king. Where is he? Not the good news that we know it to be. Not the good news that we know it to be now. As far as all of Jerusalem being troubled, I am sure that there were some, those especially who had been appointed by Herod in the offices, that were very troubled, as their positions would now be in jeopardy if a new king came to take place. And I suppose there might be some of the general populace, as Herod was known as a great builder. I mean, he'd done the temple and the aqueducts and much more were constructed under his reign. But he was also a tyrant who ruled with an iron fist, and most of the people were not happy under his rule. And we need to understand all this so we can understand what's going on here. So, even though the general populace might be glad that there was another king, they would have been troubled over the fact that Herod was. Because there's going to be problems if he's upset, right? And some of his subjects were going to suffer for that in just a little while. And we'll be talking about that here in the future. But those in Bethlehem would come to understand that. Now, Herod, when he heard that the Magi had to say, he calls the chief priests and scribes to find out where the Messiah was going to be born. Okay? We know that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Then he secretly calls the Magi back and asks when they first saw the star. When did you first see the star? That's important. Okay? That is very important. That's in verse 7. Now, I want you to think about this. From here to Lancaster, Pennsylvania is just a smidge over 500 miles. Takes about 8 hours to drive there, okay, give or take. That's driving straight through. They had to travel approximately 500 to 900 miles, okay? And if we're going to travel any distance, we plan it out. We want to figure out where we're going to stop to eat, what we're going to do, and we're getting there a lot faster than walking or a camel or a donkey could get there. So these guys are going to set out to find this Jewish king, and they figure out what they have to do and where they're going to go. Now, they had been on the road for at least months, possibly up to a year. They had gone through moor and mountain, field and fountain, following yonder star. They had traveled, and I am sure suffered the hardships of the road, from about 500 miles to 900 miles, depending on where they departed from, which would have been west of Israel, as they saw the star in the eastern sky. Modern scholars lean towards either Persia, Iran, or Iraq, Babylon. That's the general consensus, but it could have been further west of Israel than that. Okay, once you divine the reason, then you get the trip arranged. We talked about that, right? And you get gifts. We're going to go visit somebody that's just had a baby in Lancaster. So we're going to get gifts ready, right, to take them. That's natural. We have to go out and buy them. We have to make arrangements. And then you set out. I am sure that riding a camel or donkey or even possibly walking was not in any sense easy. I like riding horses. I've been in the saddle for 5 or 6 hours, but I can't imagine days of that. And then traveling and stopping, and then spending the night, getting everything arranged, getting all, you know, you're probably not traveling alone, especially carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there's a caravan, more than likely. So they're stopping. You get a bunch of people traveling, it's hard to get them going again. I know what it's like to have 5 grandchildren try to watch my wife and mother-in-law get them ready to go. So I'm being honest. So it's going to take a while. It is definitely a process. Time-consuming, and yet they, through all of that, they remain steadfast in their pursuit of this king, of the king of Israel. And when they did not find him where they thought he should be, as they inquired, where is he who has been born, past tense, the king of the Jews? We see that Herod sends them to Bethlehem, asking them to report back to him so he could go worship the true king as well. Right? I'm going to worship the guy that's going to take my place. Yeah, right. I mean, he calls them in secretly and tells them how, and that tells us how insincere he was about worshiping this king. Now, this is where it gets, I think, really interesting. Okay? For me, this was like, wow. The Magi leave. And behold, the star which had been seen in the east went on ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the child was found. We always see this. We set the nativity set up every year. We put our wise men looking down at the baby and all of that. Okay? Where's my picture? The one with all of them together. There we go. See, they're there. We do that every year. We have the little manger. It looks really nice. We have the sheep, the cow, the donkeys. It's just there. My daughter has camels. It's just, we do it every year, and we do it in the middle of winter. Yeah. The Bible doesn't say that they went to Bethlehem. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. The word tells us they followed the star, and we know from Luke's gospel that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem after the time of purification. She had to be purified for 40 days after she gave birth. Okay? And they headed back from there. Then they went on to Jerusalem, right? And then they went from there, it says, back to their hometown. I'll read it to you. I'm just going to read 3 verses out of Luke. This is Luke chapter 2. And when the 8 days were completed, so that it was time for his circumcision, he was also named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then I'm going to jump to verse 39 because there's a bunch of stuff about Zechariah and Anna. And when his parents had completed everything in accordance with the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And now the child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Okay? So these three guys couldn't have been there. They were way off in another country. I'm getting to satisfy my pet peeve here, so bear with me. They weren't there. They were not at the stable, and they couldn't have been in Bethlehem. As I said, Joseph and Mary and the baby went to Jerusalem, and then after the 40 days, they went back. So no conjecture here, none whatsoever. The Bible tells us they weren't there. They were in Nazareth. Then in Matthew 2:11, and when they entered the stable? No. House. When they entered the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they went into the house, not a stable. These magi were persistent. Okay? They're going to find this guy. Even though Herod had said, hey, go here. The star led them elsewhere. And they followed the star, which was a good thing. They sought out the king. And what did they do once they found him? They worshipped him. They worshipped him. And I want to point out something. These Gentile believers were the first to worship Jesus. There were sheep, and there was a shepherd. I couldn't remember what it was called. There was shepherd there. They had seen it, but never says anything about them worshiping. They just listened to the angels, went to Bethlehem, because the angels were singing. And let me tell you, if I hear angels singing and they tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. Especially if it's more than one. So, these Gentiles worshiped the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were the first ones. And we don't always get that. They presented him, not his mother and not Joseph. They presented the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. All gifts that were fit for a king. There's a lot of speculation and conjecture about what each one of those gifts mean. For right now, they were fit for a king. And that's what we need to look at. And that's for, you know, like I think, I'm supposing that there are thousands of sermons that are done on the gifts. Not today. There's not enough time to get into it. The very last thing we need to look at that we're going to look at today is verse 12. They listened. Who else was obedient? Mary and Joseph. The Magi listened. They listened to God. They were warned, just as we are, that there's going to be false prophets, that Jesus is coming back. What will befall the disobedient and the unbelieving? We're warned. There's a whole book with God's warnings and promises in it for us. We need to listen and we need to be obedient, just as they were. Now, today, now, in this time period, we need to have the persistence of the Magi. We need to seek him out, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you put the slides up there where the camel's way off to the left?
You didn't.
No, I'm sorry. There, they weren't with him. I forgot about the slide. My apologies. So, yeah, Brock does a lot of work. He really does. And he puts up with abuse, but he gives as much as he gets. So it balances out. Oh, yes, he has to be. We need to be persistent in our pursuit of God. We need to face the obstacles that hinder our journey, including those that would deceive us, like King Herod. Because that's what he was doing, was deceiving them. We need to know what the word actually says, so that we can't be deceived into believing this. That we won't be deceived into believing other things. We have to take some things by faith, plain and simple. But there are things that we can know through the Word. And I hope that you'll begin to understand why it's so important for us to know what the Word actually says. And when you see the mangers, you can go, no, take the camels and put them way far away. And take the three wise guys and put them over there. Because every year I keep setting them off to the side. And my wife goes, put them back. It is what it is. We need to keep moving forward just like they did. And we may go someplace that we don't really need to be to get information. Then we need to get out of there and go and follow Christ, the star, to where He is, to where He's leading us. We need to keep moving forward, to keep moving up and out. We need to sacrifice our time and give our gifts, right? What are you willing to surrender to God? These guys gave up a year of their lives easy. Let's call it 6 months to compromise. They gave up 6 months, hardships all along the journey to get where God wanted them to be at the right time that He wanted them to be there. What can we give God that He has not given us? What can you give to God that He has not given you? I mean, He gave you life. We talked in this morning about surrendering all in class, of giving it all to Christ and trusting Him with our lives, with our boats and our cars and our homes, with our money, and trusting Him. What are you willing to give? What is it that you're holding back that it's time to surrender to Him this morning? To give to Him as a gift to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who died to save you, who rose on the third day so that you could be justified, who gave us His Word so that we could be sanctified. All these gifts are from God, and we only have to give a little bit back. And we need to know the Word. That's why we have these classes, so that we can all learn and grow together, so that we can know what's been twisted, that there's been conjectured. Is that a right word? We need to understand those things. And we do that so that we can know the truth. So as the praise team comes back up, I want you to join me in prayer. Would you please stand? Gracious and most holy God, we pray this morning. I pray for all of us this morning, Lord, that we would stay persistent and steadfast, moving forward in the grace and knowledge of who You are. That, Lord, we would not conjecture, that we would not guess, that, Lord, we would seek out the truth, and Your Word is truth, Lord. And that, Lord, we would know when someone's trying to deceive us, because we know You through Your Word. So, Lord, bless us today. And, Lord, if there's anyone here who has been deceived, who is seeking a deeper understanding, who is ready to give up and surrender all to You, then Lord, I pray that they come and pray that they surrender all. We love You, Lord. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Wise men still seek Him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we have come together to worship, to learn, to grow, to pray, to lay our burdens down before you. To come together as the church, Lord, as your church. And Lord, I pray and thank you for the food we're about to partake in. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that you have made us family. I pray that you would bless our time of fellowship and the classes that come after, Lord, as we continue to seek you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.